clinging to that old rugged cross. That tells us that millions of years tonight in the portals of glory, it'll still be Christ and Him crucified is what we'll be praising Him for. Hallelujah. Great song, Paul, beautifully sang. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 8? Acts chapter 8. And I want to begin reading. Let's see. Let's begin reading at verse 9. And would you please stand with me for the reading of the word of the Lord? Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay my hands he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart might be forgiven thee." And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the incomparable power of the Holy Spirit. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for what it tells us. I thank you for the hope and encouragement that it gives us, that we can discern how very little time we have left in this mortal coil before we go to meet our Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, today I ask that you would help me to preach your word with clarity, with conviction. I pray you would help me preach it in a way that would bring your name honor and glory, and that, Lord, somehow I would fade to the background and Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, would be clearly set before the people, and will not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do this day, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As is my custom, many of you know, I do my best to try to find either a real-life story or a good illustration and opening up the message that will hopefully bring clarity to the entirety of the message. And I always strive to do my best to make sure that the facts that I give you on any particular issue are accurate. And I've wanted to use this story that I'm about to tell this morning for quite some time, but there's been a great deal of controversy around it, and I've finally done my research and settled in my heart that this is pretty much the way that it happened. It concerns Michael Jackson, who many of you know just recently died unexpectedly. It was actually, I believe, accidentally murdered by his own physician. The week before Michael's death, Andre Crouch, who the Lord has used to bless the church with some great, great gospel songs, one being "People Need the Lord," another one being "Tell Them," the beautiful chorus. Just tell them, even if they won't believe you, just tell them. Andre and his sister Sandra for years have been used by God in the gospel music industry. They were very prominent in the late 70s and throughout most of the 80s and into the early 90s, but over the past few years, they're not quite as prominent as they once were, but still recognized as great people and being used musically in the kingdom of God. Michael Jackson loved their work. As he listened to it, all the people around him say that whenever he heard them sing, speaking of Andre and Sandra Crouch, that he sensed something in their singing, a power, that he realized that he had not tapped into. And the week before his death, he had summoned them to his house as he was preparing to go on a world tour to hopefully reestablish himself as a renowned artist and showing to the world that he still had great ability to perform and he was still the king of pop, as he had been so labeled. And Sandra and Andre spent the entire day with him, and all they did was sing gospel songs to him. There was not one secular song that was sung. And as they prepared to leave that evening, they asked Michael, they said, "Can we pray?" And Michael said, "Yeah." He had no resistance to the prayer. Now, it was reported inaccurately that some said that he actually prayed a prayer of salvation with them. According to Andre Crouch himself, that's not true. Andre said he prayed a prayer that was uncompromising about Jesus Christ and about how Christ was the only way of salvation. And he said, whether Michael Jackson prayed with us or not, I don't know his heart. That's between him and God. But he said he was not opposed to us praying with him. But just before the prayer that concluded their day's activities, Michael brought up the fact, he said, "Can you tell me how that when you sing, I feel this energy, this spirituality that I want to try to tap into, to use in my own show?" And he didn't realize really what he was asking about. And Andre told him, he said, "Michael," he said, "what you're sensing is the power of the Holy Spirit of God." And he said, "That power is given only by God. And it's given only by God for His purposes. It's not given to build our own individual kingdoms." And he said that struck Michael. And he said he really sensed that Michael was under Holy Ghost conviction at that point in time. And he said, and that's the time he invited Michael to pray with him. And he said Michael prayed out loud with him, but there was no sinner's prayer, so to speak, prayed. So I know God's a merciful God. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I'm not going to place Michael Jackson in heaven or hell. That's between him or God. But I know I can say two things assuredly. Number one, if he did not pray that sinner's prayer and the king of pop did not bow at the feet of the king of the world, then he died lost. But number two, if he did in some way say, "Lord Jesus, forgive my sin and come into my life," God heard that cry. And God reached down and cleansed him and saved him. But what Michael sensed in the singing of Andre and Sandra Crouch was the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only power on earth that God recognizes. God does not recognize military power. God does not recognize political power. God only recognizes Holy Ghost power. And we in the church, as we're living in this last day, I believe with all of my heart that the Holy Spirit is preparing the church, the true church, those who have their faith in Christ and Him crucified. I believe the Holy Spirit is preparing that church for the rapture. I believe we're that close to it. I believe as we sit here this morning before this service is over, that Jesus Christ could appear in the clouds and we would go to meet him. I believe we're that close, church. Hence, the Holy Spirit is moving like I believe never before on the true church to put the gospel of Jesus Christ out to those that are lost and dying. Simultaneously, I believe the Holy Spirit is calling out to the apostate church to pull them back to the foot of the cross of Christ. As we read the story this morning about Philip going to Samaria, in the preceding verses of our text in Acts 1 through 8, we read where due to the persecution of the church of that day, they were scattered abroad. And that was really the will of God. God used that persecution as they were scattered all over the world, because the Bible tells us that as they were scattered, they did one thing. They preached the gospel. Everywhere they went, they preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Philip in particular tells, the story is told here in Acts 1 through 8 of how he was sent to Samaria. Samaria, whom the Jews hated the Samaritans, because the Samaritans claimed a temple to Jehovah when it should have been in Jerusalem and established all types of errant worship there. So the natural-born Jews hated them because the Samaritans were half Jews and half Arab, and they were hated. They were hated by the Jewish people. But yet Philip, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, goes to Samaria, and a great revival breaks out. People are being healed. People are being saved. They listen to what he had to say. And I believe with all of my heart in this last day in which we're living, that's exactly the work the Holy Spirit is going to do again. That he's going to reach out to the classes of society that are hated even by those who claim to be the church. And you say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean, there is so much selective evangelism going on in the church world today, it's sickening. They only want to go after bankers and lawyers and people who can help them build their kingdom. They're not much unlike Simon the Sorcerer, who was only interested in Holy Ghost power to build his kingdom and to bring attention and glory upon himself. But there is a segment of the church that the Holy Spirit is propelling, I believe, to go out to those who are the outcasts of society, those who have been labeled hopeless, those who have been labeled as not being able to be reached. And God, I believe, and I believe our church is going to be a part of it and is a part of it, where God is sending them and saying, go. And Holy Ghost power is going to go with them. Not the power of man, not the intellect of man, not the capability of man. As you study your Bible, you'll find that this church of Jesus Christ was founded and established with the original Dirty Dozen. I mean, these 12 guys were tax collectors who were hated. They were fishermen. They had no social status at all, but they fell in love with Jesus Christ. And they gave their lives up for the very cause of Christ. And God used them to establish his church. God doesn't call many mighty, many noble, but the ones he does call who will answer his call. He will put this power of the Holy Spirit upon them, and they will be stalwarts for the kingdom of God. They'll see the power of God. Philip was no grandiose socialite, but he was a man who was willing to go where God told him to go. And so he went to Samaria, and a great revival broke out. They accepted what Philip had to say. There are portions of society, particularly in America today, who have become so gospel hardened. They've heard the gospel so much that it means nothing to them anymore. And most of them are seated in church pews this morning listening to false gospels, because a false gospel always promises self-aggrandization. A false gospel always promises to hold up you rather than us fading into the background. As John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. The Holy Spirit will only anoint that which is going to glorify Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will only place his power on that which brings Jesus Christ honor and glory. The Holy Spirit will never associate himself in any capacity with that which glorifies man or glorifies a gifting of man. The Holy Ghost holds up Jesus Christ. Jesus said of this great Holy Ghost power, he will speak of me. Hallelujah. I don't want to be in a church where anything other than Jesus Christ is glorified, because Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Savior. Jesus Christ is the coming King. Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords. And I don't want anything but Jesus. Hallelujah. Go ahead, praise the Lord. But there are segments that of the church that the Holy Spirit is calling out to pull them back to the foot of the cross. They're not unlike Simon the Sorcerer. So much of the apostate church today is in those shoes of Simon the Sorcerer. They see this Holy Ghost power. Michael Jackson even had the discernment to see that when Andre and Sandra sang, there was something that touched their singing that was not of this world. That's one of the things the Holy Spirit's doing in the true church today. He's making a difference. He's making a difference to where all of the machinations and the ideas of men, when they're compared to Holy Ghost power, there is no comparison. There is a distinct and clear difference between the two. You see, at the conclusion of this great revival that Philip saw in Samaria, the Bible tells us that this one called Simon, who in the Greek, his name means Simoni, and it means one who practices religion for their own gain. That's really what the word means. Simon the Sorcerer. He was renowned for his ability to perform black magic, to a degree even do miracles. And church, please listen to what I'm about to tell you. Just before the rapture of the church in this day and age that we're living in, false miracles are going to abound. The Bible says that the Antichrist himself is going to come with lying signs and lying wonders. What am I telling you? What's the Holy Spirit's message to us this morning? The same one that is in 1 Peter. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits to see whether or not they are of God. Just because you see what seems to be a miracle before your eyes does not necessarily mean that it was done through Holy Ghost power. And now the obvious question is, well, Pastor, how would you know the difference? It's simple and sublime. The difference is, who does that miracle glorify? Who does that miracle glorify? You see, Simon did all of this work because he was being glorified. And the Bible told us that's what he enjoyed about it. He did what he did because it brought upon him great honor and great glory. But true Holy Ghost power will only bring glory and honor upon Jesus Christ. God uses people, to be sure. But when the Holy Ghost is involved, the glory will be upon Jesus. No matter how mighty the miracle, no matter how brilliant the oratory, no matter how great the gifting, the glory will always go to Jesus Christ. And if that individual who's being used is right with God, they will direct the crowd and the people that are under their ministry to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I'm telling you, there's way too many Simons in the church today that are doing what they do because it brings them glory and honor. They're doing what they do because it brings money and wealth unto them. And there are great, great miracle-working powers going on. that would seem to be of God. But if you follow the individuals and watch what they're saying, you'll find out that what they're doing is not sanctioned by the Holy Spirit. It's not even associated with God. Because if it is, hear me on this morning, if it is a genuine move of God, Jesus Christ will be at the center of it. Jesus Christ and Him crucified will be what's held up as the standard and as the central focus of those miracles. If anything else is exalted, it is simply not of God. I was watching a TV show the other day, and I forget the young man's name, he and his wife, but they were in a service, I believe it was somewhere in Africa. And they had these people stirred into a frenzy. And this wasn't even on a Christian or what was purported to be a Christian channel. And I come to see after watching them for a few moments that what they were doing was nothing more than witchcraft. It really was. Because they were calling this power they were doing this with the force. There was no mention of Jesus. And there were what seemed to be, anyway, legitimate physical manifestations of power going on. But I quickly felt the cold chills go all over me when, after watching for a few moments' time, I realized they're not mentioning Jesus in this. They're not talking about Jesus Christ at all. So I believe the Holy Spirit, as I said, He's preparing the church for the rapture. One thing He wants us to know is that not every powerful spiritual manifestation that we see is of God. We better test it. We better not follow after giftings and signs and wonders. The Bible says the signs and wonders should follow the believers. Nowhere in the Word are we commanded to follow signs and wonders. And if there are signs and wonders transpiring, and it's of the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ will be the one who's glorified and honored. You see, Simon saw the real thing taking place, and he wanted it for his own purposes. But the Bible tells us that Simon got right with God. That when he saw all of these things transpiring, that he could not duplicate. He saw, just like Michael Jackson saw, there's a power at work here that's greater than anything I can come up with. That's what my prayer is in this last day and age for myself and for those of us that attend Crossway Community Church. That with our focus being on Christ and our desire being only to glorify Christ, that those in an apostate religious world would look and see there's a real power going on in their life. There's something going on in their life. I can't expound upon it, and I don't have the vocabulary maybe to say what it is. But I know that there is a power going with that individual that I don't have in my life, that my church ain't talking about. And just like Philip declared to Simon the sorcerer, that is now our opportunity to tell them, as Andre and Sandra Crouch told Michael Jackson, it is the power of the Holy Ghost. It is the power of God because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'll come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in His grace and in His mercy, He too will bestow upon you the power to live as He has given me. And not only power to live, but power to witness for Him, power to pray for the sick and see them recover. Church, I want to tell you something. It is my job as pastor to preach this word in truth to you in such a way that you know how to go out and minister to the people that come into your life. It's not my job to get to all of the people you know. It's my job as pastor to equip you that when you come across them and they ask you, you have the right answer for them, which is Christ and Him crucified. And if our faith is anchored in Christ and Him crucified, the Holy Spirit of God is going to follow us everywhere we go. He's going to be manifesting in areas of our lives, and a lost and dying world and an apostate church is going to see there is a power there that I've never seen before. It's not of this world, and I want to know how I can get what you've got. Somebody give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Simon saw that power. I want to see. And I believe as I'm starting to hear stories about it, as we go out and witness and carry this gospel to our world, they're going to start to notice there's a power there. This past week, I chuckled at work. They got me into a discussion on how to be right with God. Yeah, you know that was interesting, don't you? Had a Catholic, an atheist. Yeah, that's about five of them gathered around my desk. And I'm just sitting there minding my own business, doing my work. Somehow they're all congregated around my desk. Yeah, that's it, Deb. Holy Spirit's engineering it. And they said, ain't you a preacher? And I said, I try to be. They said, well, have you heard us talking? I said, yeah. They said, well, how do you get right with God? And you know, man, I was just bursting then. I had to say, okay, keep your voice calm. Settle yourself down. I said, guys, I said, it ain't all that hard. I said, there's one way. I said, it's not Buddha, it's not Muhammad, it's not, and I said, I don't mean offense by this, but it's not going to a man who wears his collar backwards to confess your sins. And I said, I even heard one of you say you don't believe. Well, that's not true. You believe in something. Believing in nothing is believing in something. Even you've got faith. And I said, there's only one way to be right. And that's by placing your faith exclusively in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. And I took them through Genesis to Revelation. And the Holy Spirit came upon me. The Holy Spirit came upon me. And they sat there in rapt attention. And I don't want to take too much time because we're being paid, you know. I don't want to rob from the government. That wouldn't be right. But I took about 10 minutes. And they stood there in rapt attention. And one of them was a union steward with a union. And later that day, he came back to me. He said, you ever thought about being a union steward? I said, no, why? He said, man, you can speak. He said, we'd love to have somebody can speak like you, talk to these executives around here when we're in a grievance or something. I said, no. I said, and he's a very, very good guy, too. I've been witnessing to him. As a matter of fact, he lives right here in Springfield, right up the road from here. And I said, no, Keith. I said, were I to attempt to probably speak on behalf of the union, it'd be a total mess. You wouldn't see the eloquence, the calmness, and the intellectualness which was delivered to you earlier today. I said, you want to know what you saw there? You saw Holy Ghost power, Keith. And I said, I can't do that. That's not mine. I said, the Lord anointed me. That's what you saw. And I said, I'm not against the union, but I said, that gift is not for the advancement of a union. It's for the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's all I can use it for. But the point I make in church is that even if you don't realize it at times, with your faith being anchored in Christ and what He's done for you at the cross, and Linda, I know you know what I'm talking about, and I know most of you do. I just single her out because she's been sharing some things with me. But the point being, they're recognizing you. Your neighbors on the job, they're recognizing you because Holy Ghost power cannot be hidden. Jesus said, a city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. When a candle's lit in the midst of darkness, how can you hide it? And we are carrying the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ in us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Hence, God's going to give us opportunities. Andy's been sharing about some opportunities he's been given at work. God is going to open doors. I see him doing it in my life. And church, I can't get away from this issue. The Lord wants to use you to build his kingdom. He wants to use you to lead people into the kingdom. And he will use you to lead people into the kingdom if we'll just submit ourselves as Philip did. The Simons are out there. In other words, even though they may be in arrogance and egotism right now, when real Holy Ghost power is laid down in front of them, it's undeniable. And they have to admit, I don't have this. I don't have this. Even Michael Jackson, who had millions of dollars, all the fame and popularity and wealth a person could want, but he didn't have Holy Ghost power. And he wanted it to help him with his tour. Think of that. But you know what? There's not much difference in the modern church today. The thinking of most in the apostate church is simply this. Let's look in the Word of God to see what it can do to help us achieve what we want to achieve. Now that's the mindset of most preachers, most in ministry and singing, whatever kind of ministry it is. They approach the Word of God with that mindset. I was watching, again, this was a gospel channel the other day, and they had on some singers on there, and they were tremendously gifted and talented. But as they sang, they took a break between one of their songs, and the guy hosting the show came out and asked them, said, "Well, tell us about yourself and what you guys are hoping to achieve." And this was their answer. They were sincere, but I thought, how warped. They said, "What we want to do is we want to serve God in the industry, and we're just trying to find out which way the industry, speaking of the gospel music industry, which way the industry's moving, and we just want to get in that and flow with the industry and hopefully building." They literally said this: build a name for ourselves so that we can have a platform to preach the gospel from. And I thought, how warped. But do you see, that's the mindset of most of the church. They approach Jesus Christ not as the one who went to the cross for them and shed his blood for their sins with hearts of gratitude. They approach Jesus Christ from the standpoint of, how can he help me achieve what I want to do? You see, the mission of the church is not that. The mission of the church is to look at this word and say, let us change, let the Holy Spirit change our lives to conform to what God wants done. See, God doesn't want everybody to be a rock star. I remember somebody had that song out a few years back, I believe it was Nickelback, "We all just want to be big rock stars." You know, living hilltop castles, driving 14 cars. Yeah. And sadly, that's how most and the church approach Jesus Christ now. They view him as some addendum to help them achieve their dreams. And you know what's going on? They're no different than Simon the sorcerer. Because when he saw Holy Ghost power at work, what he was interested in is, how can this help me? Somebody like that will never know the power of the Holy Spirit. They may do great things. They may achieve what man would deem to be great things in this life. But they will never be anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. Because the Holy Spirit only anoints humility. He only anoints that which has condescended to the foot of Jesus Christ and says he is the Savior of the world. You know what it means to give your life to Jesus Christ? And this is hard for all of us. It means just that. You give up what you think your dreams and desires are, and say, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" That's hard. That's hard for any of us. And it can only be done through this Holy Ghost power I'm preaching about. Only the Holy Spirit can bring us prideful, sinful humans to the place to where we'll say, okay, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. Because sometimes what the Lord wants us to do, we wouldn't want to do it. I'll just be point blank with you. Most of what the Lord's asked me to do in my life, if he had shown me how it was going to come out in the end initially, I wouldn't have done it. I'll be dead honest with you. That's why he don't show us everything when he asks us, will you do what I'm asking you to do? Hence, I said it before, this church again this morning, I can't get away from it. He's asking, I believe, this church to go in the power of the Holy Spirit and to carry this gospel to our worlds. We know it. I look out of this congregation today, and I don't think there is a one of you, even the youth, who don't know enough to tell somebody. If they asked you, how do I get right with God? To tell them through Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross. And the Holy Spirit will flow through that message, and it will be undeniable. It will be a manifestation of God's power. There's power in proclamation of this gospel. If it's the gospel, you can rest assured the Holy Spirit will touch it, and it will be undeniable. Hallelujah. He'll empower you. He'll equip you. He'll give you words to say. He'll give you an eloquence to speak to farmers and CEOs on the same level because it's Holy Ghost power. But if we don't do what he's asking us to do, which is to further his cause, to further his gospel, then we're really better off no better than Simon. And that's the message the Holy Spirit wants us to see. I got to hurry quickly to a close here. Simon, after seeing all of these miracles that Philip worked, and he himself actually became a convert and was saved. Here's the point I want to bring out. Simon really got saved. He was baptized. And then here come John and Peter. When they hear about what a great revival is going on, the leadership of the church in Jerusalem says we need to send Peter and John down there to further expound the gospel to them. Because Philip was not, he knew enough, obviously. But the Bible says when Peter and John came into town, they begin to lay hands on people, and they begin to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, this speaks a myriad of things. If you just look at it in a cursory fashion, you may think, well, what's the big deal about that, Pastor? Peter and John came down and laid hands on them. They received the Holy Ghost. But the Bible tells us that when they laid hands on them and they received the power of the Holy Ghost, Simon, that old nature rose up in him again. Bear in mind, Simon's a Christian now. You know, you can be saved and still have a lot wrong and be going the wrong direction as the Holy Spirit is patient with you to grow you up in Jesus Christ, okay? Bear in mind, Simon's saved now. But he lets that old nature creep up on him. And he thinks, man, look at what these guys are doing. Now watch this. These people were already saved that Peter and John laid hands on. We know that, right? Philip had already won them to the Lord. They've already been baptized. Acts 8, 1 through 8 tells us that already been baptized. I'm bringing this out for those who would try to say that Holy Ghost power isn't for today, that it died with the apostles. When they laid hands on them, there had to be some kind of manifestation to let everybody around them know they've received the Holy Ghost. Do you follow me on where I'm going with this? It says, and when Peter and John laid hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost. In other words, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. But what supernatural manifestation took place as evidence that they had been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Simon, the sorcerer, had to see some type of physical manifestation to prove the Holy Ghost has come upon these people. What was it? What it was in Acts 2. And they spake with tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. They began to speak with other tongues when Peter and John laid hands on them. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is so beautiful and so imperative to get the work of Jesus Christ accomplished on this earth. And Peter and John, realizing this, knowing they'd been saved and baptized in water, they laid hands on them. And immediately they began to praise God in unknown tongues, unknown to them. And Simon saw this manifestation. And he said, I want to be able to do this too. In other words, I want to be a religious star like Peter and John. See, he was approaching the things of God with a mindset that most of the apostate church approaches the things of God from this standpoint. How will it help me build me up? How will it put me in the right position to become a religious star? Thank God. I pray the Lord gives us another 2 million Peters in the church. Because what did Peter do when he said, I'll give you money if you guys will show me how to do this? Now think of that. Think of that. I'll give you all money if you show me how to do what you're doing. And I can just imagine the great apostle Peter as he stands there looking at this guy. In a very small way, it was like I must have stood looking at Keith when he asked me if I wanted to be a union steward because I could speak so well. Now, can you imagine that? Me being a union steward, arguing with government executives over minutia in a contract. Well, they'd laugh me right out of there. And rightfully so. I don't want to do it. Because every Sunday morning, whether you all know it or not, and you all might think, oh, Pastor Greg, what a preacher. And you've been very kind to me, and so many compliments all the time. You're seeing Holy Ghost power. You're seeing Holy Ghost power is what you're seeing. Because I'll be the first one to tell you, I could never have even begun to do what I'm doing now did God not call me and still to this day keeps calling me and anointing me to do it. It's Holy Ghost power. That's how I've come to trust in it so much. He's taught me more about walking in the Holy Spirit and trusting in Holy Ghost power since I've become pastor of Crossway Community Church. Because for years I believed if I didn't sweat blood and fast and study 40 hours a week and all that's good, that I wasn't prepared for the pulpit. But taking some things out from under me and forcing me to trust that, Greg, your hope's not in your library. Your hope's not in having access to everything you think you need to have access to. You've got access to everything you need to have access to. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, you have access to Holy Ghost power. Hallelujah! What a lesson! What a lesson to learn! And that's hopefully what I want you to see. And that he'll do the same for anybody that'll do his bidding, that'll carry his word. Peter rebuked Simon. He said, Simon, you've got no part in this thing. And he even told him, you're in bondage right now. Here's proven, fact proven, how a person can be saved, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And any area that we shun Christ access to in our lives, it can become an area of bondage to us. Even as a born-again believer, Simon didn't have his ego sanctified yet. He was still fairly new in the Lord, which I can have a lot of patience for somebody like that. You know what? The people I don't have patience with that are standing before a worldwide audience and walked with God for 30 years and still don't know enough to tell them the right message. I don't have a lot of patience for folks like that. But for a new believer like Simon was, but Peter rebuked him and said, you've got no part in this. And he even told him, you can read it for yourself. We read in the text this morning. I'm paraphrasing for sake of time. You better go repent, Simon. Because you're not right. He rebuked him publicly. Publicly rebuked him. In front of everybody. I remember through the years as I've identified false doctrine and false prophets, people get so mad over that. Why? Because always. You know what a false prophet's telling them? Just what Simon was doing for the crowds that were following him. He was giving them a religious hero and telling them, you do what I'm doing, and you can become like me. Now, don't that sound familiar? That's most of what you hear out of the Word of Faith movement. You give me enough money and you'll become a millionaire like me. Boy, that makes a lot of sense, don't it? And it turns the church into a little more than a spiritual Amway organization when it goes that way. You know, get enough people under you and, you know, get enough upline or whatever it is they call it. And it's doomed to fail because it's a pyramid scheme. And in a pyramid scheme, somebody has to lose money for somebody else to make money. That's how you can tell that something like that's not of God. When they're telling you, give me money and God will make you rich. No, you're just going to enrich them. And you're going to be the one losing. But when God's in it, everybody wins. Hallelujah. Nobody loses when it's the Holy Ghost involved. And Simon was rebuked. But here's what I want to bring out as we close now. It's quite obvious Simon repented over this. Because he asked them, he said, will you pray for me that I won't be cursed now? That's repentance, church. Will you pray for me that I won't be cursed, he said to Peter and John. If we will answer God's call on this church and on our individual lives to take the gospel to our world, we're going to see a lot of situations like what happened in the life of Simon, where they're going to realize there's a greater power at work in your life that's not of this world. You know, I've tried karma, I've tried Buddhism, I've tried the purpose-driven life, I've tried the Word of Faith movement, I've tried the G12 movement. No, I'm not going to say that. Some of you can ask me later, Pastor, what were you going to say when you said that? And I'll tell you, it would probably be inappropriate here. But all that hasn't worked. And I'm seeing something at work in your life. It's working. Now bear in mind, this is not to say that our lives are going to be perfect and every little thing about us is going to be just right. But as we go through the same things they go through, and we're held up under them, we're holding up under them, as we preached the prior 2 weeks, as God is putting us through a faith test, not to prove us, not to show he's been mean to us, but to prove to us and to those around us, he is able to sustain. He's able to provide even in the midst of the worst of situations. As they watch us going through this and they see us not losing our minds, that's Holy Ghost power at work. And like Simon, they're going to come, they're going to say, I've tried all these other things, but I've watched your life and it's working for you. I've watched you go through this and go through that and I would have lost my mind. And that's when you can tell them, it's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. I would to God that all the Simons that are in the church today, and sadly there's multiplied thousands of them, I'm speaking of preachers, that are up preaching this gospel, or not this gospel, not the one you're hearing, but a gospel, of their own formulation that's aggrandizing them and bringing them great wealth. That when people like Brother Swaggart and Brother Larson and Brother Donnie Swaggart preach and tell them the way you're going's wrong, that they would do what Simon did and say, you're right. But you know, for a time I had that in me where I wanted to be a quote-unquote religious star. Lord had to get it out of me. But thank God he has, because he's brought me to a place now, and I've still got a ways to go, but he's brought me to a place now where I realize I don't need a big church. I don't need a big congregation. All I need is Jesus. And I'll preach to who he tells me to preach to and whoever he sends me, and however many he sends. But one thing I've learned, the Holy Spirit always anoints the preaching of the cross. Because that's the gospel. He always anoints it. And I've learned not to stray too far ever in any message from the cross. Because if you're really concerned as a minister about those who sit under you, and you really want to see them get the help they need, you better preach the cross to them. Because your 12 steps and 7 keys ain't going to help them. And that's usually most of what gets offered to the people of God. And it's the fault of the pulpit. It's not the fault of the pew. Well, in a sense, it's the fault of the pulpit. The pew needs to know their word well enough to where when that guy behind the pulpit starts telling them something that's not the gospel, that they run from it. But sadly, most people, they place themselves under Simons, who their only motivation for doing what they do is to be a star in the ecclesiastical fashion. God give us more men like Peter and John and Philip and women who have that spirit that says, I'm here to please God. I gave my life over to Jesus Christ. It's not my own anymore. Man, that's hard. That's hard. And it's so very rarely preached in the modern church. But that's really what this gospel is all about, is giving your life over to Jesus. That means, you know, whatever your dreams and desires are, if you were dreaming of being a big religious ecclesiastical star, God may not have that plan for you. He may have it planned for you to preach in a rented church to about 50, 60 people. But you know what? Here's what I've learned. There's no greater feeling than being in His will. Because I was on my way, and the other, I was talking to my sister-in-law, and when we were discussing some of the events that transpired in our lives over the last, mine, my family's, and mine, Ravon's, over the past few years, and I said, Joy, I was on my way. And that former organization I was in. I said, I'd have been a state overseer above by now if I'd have just kept going the way I was going. Because I saw the game. I saw the system. And for a time, I'm not proud to admit, I was playing it. I always preached Jesus and what He did on the cross, even before I understood the cross as I should have. But I saw two things in that organization. One, Keep sending in greater amounts of money and you can preach Buddhism and they won't care. Now, I know that may sound harsh, but it's the truth from somebody who was deeply on the inside of a religious organization. And I did that. God blessed the church I was at to where we were number 2 in the state in tithes at one time. For 3 or 4 months running. And all of them calling down, What are you doing? Oh, my, we've never seen nothing like this. Oh, yeah, we got a church, bigger church coming open in Springfield. Do you want to take it? Like a fool, I said, yeah. No, I knew. I shouldn't have said that. I said that in jest. There is not one doubt in my mind that God sent me to Springfield, Ohio. In spite of all the trouble, in spite of all the difficulty, in spite of all the heartache, I lay my head on my pillow at night knowing I did what God told me to do. And I don't regret that for a second. But that was the mindset. But it was about a year before I left Mount Vernon. Something happened that upset the whole apple cart. I got the message of the cross. And how many of you know that the message of the cross don't play well in ecclesiastical systems? Because it upsets the whole apple cart, so to speak. Because now it's, there ain't no religious stars. Now it ain't nobody above nobody else. We're all level at the foot of the cross. I don't care how many titles you have after your name, whether you're the great potentate poobah overseer of the North District Central Region of Southern Bug Tussle. They love them titles. Ecclesiastical organizations love them titles. And I watched men chase after that. Give me a title. Thank God He delivered me from that. In His grace and mercy, He delivered me from it. Hallelujah. And I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't want that for now for all the popularity in the world. Because I've tasted of something far greater now. The power of the Holy Spirit. And to know you're in God's will, there's nothing like that. Nothing can replace that. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Church, go. Go tell him. He's going with you. They're going to be out there. The Simons are going to be out there. And they'll probably challenge you. Just keep preaching Christ and him crucified. And as the Holy Spirit flows and gives you the words to say, you'll know. They'll know. There's a difference. There is a difference. That's the incomparable power of the Holy Spirit and what he can do in a person's life. Would you stand to your feet? Thank you, Lord. Praise God. If you're here this morning and you're not right with God, and again, I ask the question, if you say you're right with God, why are you right with God? None of us are perfect, but I will say this. If you're living a life of continual sin, and you live your life in such a way that you have no regard to want to do what's right or follow Jesus, and quit the things that you know are wrong, you're not right with God. You can't continually live a life of sin and be right with God. I'm talking about to where when you sin, you know this is wrong and I've got to quit it. The Holy Spirit will convict his children. But if you're living a life where you have no regard for what God wants, and you're living a life that's based only on what you want, and fulfilling your lustful, fleshly desires, that's the focus of your life, you're not right with God. You need to get saved, really. And this power of the Holy Spirit I've preached about this morning will come into your life, and he'll help you in those areas that you need help in, but you can't excuse them away. They're there, and you know it. And there's enough power in God to overcome any of man's frailties. But it's only through placing your faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for you at the cross will this power flow. He's not going to aid a sinful life. If you're here this morning and you know you're not right with God and you want to be, would you slip up a hand right now? I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise you that. Are there any here who would say, Pastor, this sin thing's got a grip on me, and I can't quit doing the things I'm doing, but I want to. I know they're wrong. I know they're destroying me. And maybe you've played a religious game with God for a long time. He loves you, and you'll find a greater peace and a greater joy in your spirit than anything that this world has to offer you. Are there any here this morning who would say, I need to be right with God today? Slip up a hand right now. Are there any? Are there any at all? And I'm going to ask everybody who will, would you come this morning and present yourselves at the altar of God? Well, that's the song, Michelle. It's beginning to rain. I promise to pour my spirit out on my sons and my daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, as we stand in your presence today, I'm asking, just like when Peter and John in the book of Acts laid hands on those at Samaria. I'm asking in the name of Jesus for you to baptize this church afresh and anew in the Holy Spirit of God. I'm asking for Him to fall in wave after wave of glory on us today. Lord, not so that we can say we're a tongue-talking church, not so we can say anything about us, so that we can effectively say something about you, Lord. That's what we're asking for. I'm not asking you to make Crossway Community Church the biggest numerically. But Lord, I'm asking you to endue us with a spiritual power from on high like we've never known before. So that, Lord, when the Simons come into our lives, we can effectively preach the gospel to them. Lord, use this church to further the gospel in our own individual worlds, Lord. Equip us and empower us, Lord, with this precious Holy Spirit. And Lord, just like when Philip went to Samaria to preach, many were healed. The Bible says many that were lame, many that were sick, were made whole. Lord, let that gift of healing operate. And would you all stretch forth your hands toward Paul? Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, we ask for a miracle for his cousin Michael, Lord. That in the name of Jesus, whatever's going on in his body that has the medical world baffled, Lord, we've seen your miracle working power in the lives of Randy and Kathy. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask you right now to let your healing virtue go forth into Michael's body. Let the swelling go down in the name of Jesus, Lord, that has caused him to gain 80-some pounds in about a week. Lord, whatever's going on, let the power of God flow right now. The same power, Lord, that you used Philip to minister in. Lord, we ask for the glorification of Jesus Christ in this healing today. And we believe you for Michael right now. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, I believe we touched your throne and I praise you. I believe we're going to hear a tremendous report of what's going on in this man's life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Boy, church, I really feel a deep, gentle move of the Holy Spirit going on around this altar today. And he's telling me, don't dismiss it yet. Just lift up your hands and praise him. Lord God, today, baptize us in the Holy Spirit afresh and anew. Lord, take us through the river of Almighty God one more time. Lord, that river that never dries, that river that's always refreshing. Lord, as you're preparing us to be the church in the last days, we get thirsty and dry, Lord, but we know our source. We know our source never runs dry. There is a fountain that never runs dry. Praise God. And it flows from Jesus Christ through the power and person of his Holy Spirit. Let him refresh you this morning, church. Open up your spirit and let the Holy Ghost refresh you today. Some of you, I know, are facing things and situations that are so overwhelming. Thank you, Lord. We praise you today, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Give us, Lord, not for to heap glory upon ourselves, but to effectively carry your gospel. Anoint us today, Lord. In Jesus' name. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for these people that I know love you. I feel so privileged to be their pastor. Keep your hand upon them, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I have no power and authority of myself except that which you've given. But Lord, as their pastor, I bless them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And I ask you to keep your hand upon them and sustain them and provide for them and give them wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Would you give the Lord a hand of praise this morning? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Well, it's been so good to be with you in the house, Lord, this morning. Ned's got an announcement. please.